Well, good morning, everybody. And happy Father's Day to you from me, too. It's good to be here together in God's house and just worshiping and just encouraging one another this morning as we come together. It's so good. And today I'm going to talk about fear, overcoming fear. But before I start, I want to make an announcement this morning. I've come to a place where I have made a decision with God's help to resign / retire from being an elder of the church here. It's been becoming more clear to me all the time, and I need to make some changes in my life, and you know how it is. I was sharing with somebody else this morning that when you get older, the stress takes a toll on you, and I've been finding that as I get older, that stress, it is starting to affect me a lot more, the stress of being in leadership. And I've been 15 years in this church, and we're 10 years in leadership in the Clearedale Church, and it just, the Lord has been speaking to me and saying, it's time for me to resign as elder, not leaving the church, but just leaving it up to the Lord in what direction He wants me to go, us to go from here on, and just understanding the Lord's timing, time for change, take a step. I shared a couple weeks ago about courage and taking a step. And I'm so, today I want to say to you as brothers and sisters, so thankful for the journey that we have been on together, seeing God guide us, grow us and strengthen us in this church. We have been through much together. And thankful for the unity and support of this church. It's been just amazing. I still say to people today, like, Cornerstone has been one of the most exciting churches that I have had a privilege to serve in. You know, we went through a lot of things in the church, doctrinal issues. We went through COVID. There was a lot of things that were just uncharted country. And it was sometimes just unbelievably stressful. But the Lord got us through, and He took us through it. And I'm thankful to the Lord today. Because He did it. So today, we're taking steps, and so thankful to everyone in the church. About realizing and it's not anything that any person or anything, it is God that has brought me to the place where I realize that I need to take that step. And but you know, like I said before, not leaving the church, we're seeking the Lord's will, a direction in our lives, and I want you to know that don't hesitate to call me for help. I'm here, and I'll always be here, just focusing in a different direction, taking some of the load off. You know, I was sharing this morning that the community has all. You guys know how I have a heart for just going up to perfect strangers and talking about God. The community has been on my heart for a long time. And it seems like when you're in leadership, you want to get focused in that direction, but then something in the church pulls you back, and you need to take care of this and you need to take care of that. I think that the Lord is just really at that place in my life of saying, He can handle this, so time to make a move and to focus in a different direction in our lives. There are lots of capable young men in this church. And So we think, as we think about missions in this church, our mission statement, we live to be ready to use every opportunity to share the good news about the wonderful grace of God, teaching the disciples to obey all the commands our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. And it's been, I want to say it's been a real privilege to work with the search committee. Darcy, the pastoral search committee, Darcy shared this morning. And if the congregation would like me to, and the committee would like me to, I can continue to help them through that. Till the Lord brings us a pastor, and God's going to do that. And so I think one of the things that really came out in the search committee, one day we were talking about who are we looking for, and the word sound doctrine came out. You know, as we journey as a church through these difficult days, these very trying days of lots of teaching out there, we need to hold to sound doctrine. And it's so important that we have sound doctrine in this church to guide us through. So continue to pray. I'm encouraged. God is in control. And so I want to thank you for the privilege to serve you in the church. But I'm going to continue to serve you, just in a different capacity. So my message this morning is 2 weeks ago I spoke on courage, which is the road to maturity. And last week, DK talked about how is your faith holding up. And this week, I want to talk about fear. And these things are all related. But we, as God's people, we need to keep coming back around to this, because we need to really learn these things about how we need to walk close to God. And in Psalms 27, we see David writing this psalm, and he is so close to God. He is so needy before the Lord that he is coming to him. And Psalms 27 is really a message on prayer. The theme of Psalms 27 is prayer. And it's to encourage us all today, especially dads, to pray, to teach our family to pray, and to teach our family to love God's word as dads. We need to do that. And as I was thinking, I would want to put a song in your head this morning. You know that chorus, it goes, better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Have you ever heard that chorus? That's a wonderful chorus that is a theme, really, I think, that we want to come across this morning about our relationship with God, walking close to the Lord. This morning, what causes us to fear? Talking about fear, what causes us to fear? When I think back over many events in my life, the unknown is the common denominator for me. If we are honest, most of us like to know what's coming, right? How we're going to handle this. All the details, we want to know that everything's in place and set and ready to go. We want to do that. I think that's what really brings up fear and stress in our lives, is that the unknown. My wife and I were driving through, years ago, Quebec City, and we had supper in a restaurant before we got to Quebec City, coming home across Canada, and we talked to a guy there, and he says, hey, what's it like driving through Quebec City? And he kind of like went, huh. Well, if you don't know what you're doing and you get lost, you will never find your way out. Those are almost his exact words. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, you're going to have to call a taxi. A lot of people have had to call a taxi to lead you out of Quebec City. Ooh, yeah. So those were the days before our wonderful GPS. We had GPS back then, but it wasn't great. But yeah, so, you know, I was thinking about after we talked to the wrong person because he just threw a whole bunch of fear into my life and my wife's life. But, you know, we were committed. So we went through Quebec City, and we were just like paranoid driving through Quebec City with about 8-10 lanes of traffic and watching every sign, making sure we did not make a wrong move. And we didn't. We made it. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we were terribly fearful at the start, but we prayed and we made it. And looking back, we learned a lesson. Each of us can think of a time when we were fearful. Who did you put your trust in during that time? You know, and it's a question we need to ask. My wife and I put our trust in that guy's, what he told us. We put our trust in that. We didn't put our trust in the Lord, obviously, at that time. We were all messed up and stressed out. And it totally makes a difference on who you put your trust in. David says in Psalms 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident." Notice the word, how many my's are in that psalm. And so the question this morning, is the Lord your light and your salvation? David, the Lord was his light and his salvation. The word my there is so important. When we bring God in the picture and grab onto him and hold on, darkness runs. God has given us his light, his word. Psalms 119:11, thy word, my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. So God's word eliminates the next step for us in our life every day, but it's a light unto our path. We can see far enough down the path. We can see the kingdom of heaven. We know about the hope and the future that we have. We're heading for that. And so God has given us his light, his word, his salvation. When he has promised a way for us to come to him through Jesus, have we responded to that call this morning? That's my question. Have we responded to that? God has provided your salvation. Is it yours? Through Jesus, God has provided all we need. Nothing is more precious to me this morning than his thoughts, than what God thinks, his instructions, his direction. Nothing's more precious to me. You know, we can get sidetracked by listening to other people a little too much, and I'm not downplaying that when we're looking at making a major decision in our life that we ask people that we respect that are godly, men and women, when we're making decisions in our life. But it is the Lord that has to prevail in our life, in our decisions. So he says in verse 1, so why should I be afraid? When we lean on and look to God, fear runs. David was maybe remembering when he had overcome the lion and the bear. Hey, kids, how many of you have come up against a bear? Anybody? Have you? Yeah, David has. You're not a kid, though. That's okay. You're a big kid. Yeah. So anyhow, how many of you have come up against a bear? Kids? No? Oh, Stu has. Yeah, good. Yeah, so have I. I've come. Have you? Yep. And I've come pretty close to a bear, but I haven't had to beat one off. But David had. He had slew a lion and a bear in protecting them from the sheep. And so not many of us have done that. And David, when he talks here in a psalm, he's talking about, he was up against physical armies as king of Israel, the nations especially. The Philistines were a problem. He was many times surrounded by mighty armies. And we have never experienced that yet. But do you know that we have enemies, and many of them are unseen? David could see his enemies, and sometimes we can too, but sometimes we cannot see our enemies. And Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood people, enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly realms." So isn't that an amazing depiction of what the Bible says that our actual enemies are? They're not people. They are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, and they are well organized. So we have that battle. And we can be fearful for a moment, but when we remember God is our light and our salvation, we experience confidence. And that's what David has come to that place where he says, you know what, this is way beyond me. I cannot handle this. And so he lets go. And God is his light and his salvation. So that was the first step there. The second one, do we live and do we abide close to the Lord each day? As we know him more each day, it brings confidence. There is limited confidence in our own strength, right? But there is unlimited confidence in God's strength. You know what? In God's strength, in his presence, there is peace and joy. And that peace and joy casts out all fear. There's so wonderful peace in God's presence. As I'm writing this, I'm watching the Canso aircraft flying. That was, I think, on Friday. They were testing it out. It might go over here while we're in service. But it was flying around Fairview, and you could just hear that deep rumble of those 2,000 horsepower engines rolling. And you can almost feel the vibration and the power. But, you know, that power is nothing compared to God's power. David said, even though fear surrounds him, he remains confident. Are we confident this morning? Are we settled in? You know, we need to get this as God's people, that he is right there beside us, no matter where we are. Might not feel like it sometimes, but he is. And we need to get that. It needs to be so cemented in our lives that no matter what we go through, it's there. We know God is there. And that's where David was at. He was relying on the Lord. So verse 4 and 5 says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." David was asking the Lord, well, I'll read verse 5 too, "For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock." Ooh. David was asking the Lord and desiring, saying, the most thing I desire in my life is God's presence. Delighting in him. His holiness. If we were to lose everything like Job did, would God be enough for us in our lives? Would it be? Job lost everything. And was God enough for Job? Yeah, it was. God is enough for Job. Was enough. Would it be enough for us? He needs to be, because we are going to leave everything behind one day. That's a reality. And we're striving for physical fulfillment, and that's going to disappoint us in some respects. It will. Can't take it with us. In verse 5, when we face huge obstacles, uncertainty, we're fearful. God will overshadow us, and He goes before us. He goes behind us. He goes beside us. We are His kids. He's got us. We need to be His kids. Are you God's kid this morning? Are you a child of God this morning? And we need to think about these things. We need to cement our relationship with the Lord. He can lift us out of danger, keep us from potentially harmful situations. Kids, listen to your parents, because they are watching over you like God watches over us. That's a real standing picture of how God watches over us. Your parents are keeping you protective. How many of you have experienced God delivering them from harmful situations in your life? How many of you experienced that? Yeah. There's many here that have. Yeah. I have too. You know, when I like to spend time out at Williston Lake in Hudson Hope, and down in the town of Hudson Hope, if the dam breaks, there's a siren down there that goes off. And so, if the Williston or the W.A.C. Bennett Dam broke, where would you want to go? Anyone? Where? You'd want to be on a high rock. Yeah, that's right. Just like David says here, you want to be on a high rock. You want to be on a high place. And so how many of you, as you look at in your past over God's intervention in your lives, and I think that if we're honest this morning, probably all of us have experienced God's intervention for our protection in our lives. We probably have. And you know, we can have wonderful peace when we trust in God. God takes us and He puts us on a high rock, out of reach of danger. That's hard to envision that, but it's true. He can do that. But we need to listen. We need to delight in the Lord's perfection, meditating in His temple. Verse 4, David says, I'm delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple. We need to listen. We need to be quiet before God and to wait upon the Lord. How many of you like to wait? Yeah. How many of you like to wait? So in Philippians 3:7-11, I wanted to share this passage. So I'll go slow here. You usually flip through, right? Philippians without, and it goes right by, and you miss it. Okay, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, so Philippians 3:7-11, it says this. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Paul is sharing here that he thought in his life that obeying the law, the 500 or 600 laws that the Pharisees and scribes made up, that was a good thing. But all of a sudden he comes to this place in his life because he's experienced Christ. Yes, he says everything is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So isn't that amazing? Paul has come from that. He's come to know Christ, and he's so elated and in love with Christ that that's all he wants. That's all we need. So he's come to that place. Nothing in my life compares to Jesus Christ. I cannot become righteous on my own effect. God's way of making us right depends on faith. And I want to know him more and more. Is that our cry to God today? I want to know him more and more. So number three, do we talk to God? Is prayer our habit or our last resort? David knows where he needs to be in God's arms. In verse 7 to 12, it says, "Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, 'Come and talk with me.' And my heart responds, 'Lord, I am coming.'" And it says, "Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God, my salvation. Even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me." So is prayer your habit or your last resort? And David knows where he needs to be in God's arms. We do too. We know that, don't we? We know that, but do we go there? Nope. Most of the time, we wait. We try to do it on our own way, our own strength, until we can't or we really mess up. We say, you know what? God is, I think I have a better way. I think God is kind of slow in getting this done. I'm gonna get her done. And we roll ahead on our own and we mess up until we mess up. And we probably don't get the picture much, but we need to. God said to Joshua, "I will not fail you or abandon you." We need to get the picture cemented in our hearts and minds. And David lays out his request to God. Prayer needs to be, faith in God needs to be the foundation. And again, in verse 13, David says, "I am confident." Are we confident? We will see the Lord's goodness in our life. Will God use us for his honor? Yes, 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 he will, if we make him our light and our salvation. So and the last thing I wanted to just talk to you about this morning, in verse 14, really neat closing passage in Psalms 27. Are we waiting for the Lord, or are we running ahead of him? The psalm really encourages us here at the close to wait. There are the words wait. Wait for it. You kids, you probably have run a race, right? Actually, we probably all have run a race. And when we run a race, there's a guy with a gun, right? Okay, there's a track ahead of us, right? And there's a track. And so there's a guy with a gun, and we have our ears, right? So we get crouched down and we get ready to race. And what are we focusing our eyes on? Okay, are we going to focus our eyes on the guy with the gun? No. Who do we focus on? the Big Bang, right? Nixon? Yeah. We want to listen. We want to focus our eyes on the track, right? Focus our eyes on the track, and we want to listen. Listen for the gun. And so we wait, and we get our head on, focus on the track, and we listen, and we wait. And we wait, and all of a sudden, bang! There it is, and we're off, and we're running. And so what happens if you jump the gun? You can be disqualified, right? You can be disqualified from the race. And you know, we run ahead. And we can be disqualified also too. Sometimes when we run ahead from God, whatever he wants us to do can end up being not so good because we ran ahead of the Lord. And God wants us to wait for him. To be honest, most of us like to run ahead, right? Because we think we want that or we know how to get there, but God doesn't want us to have that, or he is taking too long, or this doesn't make sense. We just want to run ahead. We have that habit of doing that as people. Really, in a roundabout way, we find out he had our best interests in mind all the time. So wait for him. And that is what the psalm encourages us this morning to do. Wait for him. It says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. God wanted us to find the easy way, but we took the hard way. Just because we wouldn't wait. Just because we wouldn't be quiet before God. And being still and knowing that he is God is so important in our lives. Wait for it. Wait for the Lord. As a church, you know, as we move ahead together, let's wait for God. Dads, this morning, just to encourage you, learn to pray. Teach it to your family. Lead them in the Word of God. Show them with your life that God is number one. Not things and stuff, but that God is number one. How do we do that? By making God, giving God that place in our lives that he needs to have. And showing our kids that he is number one. This morning I feel the need to encourage you. We all make mistakes. And there is no mistake that you have done that God cannot forgive you for. There's nothing that he cannot forgive you for. And you know, when we run ahead of the Lord, when we get outside of his will, that's called sin. And in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God remedied that when he died on the cross to take away our sin. And in Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Forgiveness and eternal life are a free gift from God, offered to everyone. And this morning, we need to come to that place where Romans 10:13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amazing. God's grace. And I think about God's grace, and it's amazing that he would have so much patience with me all through my life on this journey. I've made so many mistakes, but he's always there willing to pick me up and let's go. You know, let's go. Salvation is a wonderful gift, but we need to take that gift. One of the things, it is not a gift until you receive it. You got to take it. It's not automatic. God isn't just standing there and, here, take it. He's saying, this is my offer to you, and you need to take that gift of salvation. We have our lifetime to respond to God's offer, but don't wait that long. Because you know what? You never know what tomorrow is ahead for us. Tomorrow. What's ahead for us tomorrow? Will you make the Lord your light and your salvation today? And we can pray with you. There's literature about on the back table back there. You can take a Gospel of John, a New Testament, and begin on that journey. But we want to talk to you. We want to pray with you as you do that. And encourage you to make that decision in your lives today. There's a number of baptismal candidates that have made decisions for the Lord. That's going to be exciting next week to see the baptisms happening and the testimonies that are shared. I'm so looking forward to that. It's such an encouraging time. And we can see how God has been moving in the lives of people and bringing to this them to the place where God is their light and their salvation. So if you have need this morning, we want to pray with you, no matter what that need might be. So better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. So is that where our heart's at this morning? I want to just encourage you. We need to get there. We need to get there. That God is so near and dear to us in our lives. So as I just want to encourage you as a church, again, not leaving, but at least not that I know of. You know, I shouldn't say that because I don't know what, I really don't know for sure what God's got around the corner here that's going to happen, but where he's going to lead us. But I want to encourage you as a church that we need to make God number one in our lives. So thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning for David just pouring out his heart in Psalm 27. And Lord, we pray that as we move forward in our lives, that we would just be able to work on this. I pray for all the dads this morning that you would encourage them and enable them and help them to just really live that and teach that and show that to their family, their wives, their kids, all the guys, everybody, Lord, here this morning, the ladies, Father, we just pray that you would be first in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.